Turn in your Bibles to Luke 22, 31 through 34. Luke 22, 31 through 34. If I haven't met you before, my name is Pastor Jen. I've been a part of the Calvary since my family came over 40 years ago. And now I'm so blessed to raise my children here and to see them walking in their gift and purpose. And let me tell you, the greatest thing that you can do after receiving Jesus into your life and following him is to be rooted and planted in the house of the Lord. Can I get an amen this morning? Come on, this is a place to find your people and to walk in your purpose. So we have so many opportunities for you to do that. And I want to give honor today. You know, this place made it possible for me to walk in my purpose. Come on, Jesus used Calvary. And I've been on staff this month 24 years. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity. But I want to honor Apostle and Pastor Don. I was just 17 years old when they came to Calvary. I've been so blessed to be on this journey with them all of this time. And let me tell you, they're the real deal. They love Jesus with all their heart and soul. They love you with all their heart and soul. And so can we honor them today and thank them for all that they do, all that they've done. And they're not done dreaming yet. Amen. The best is ahead. And I just thank God for them. And man, we're just so blessed today, Calvary. We are so blessed. And I told Apostle the other day, I said, I asked the Lord to give me a double portion of your love for the word and a double portion of Pastor Don's love for prayer. I don't know. I think I might explode if that happens because that's so powerful. But what they have, I want to glean from and I want to carry it today. Amen. All right. Are you ready to dive in? All right. If you haven't, say amen. All right. The disciples had just finished the Last Supper with Jesus. And it's only hours before Jesus was about to be arrested. Come on, everything was about to change. And the disciples were arguing over who would be the greatest. Come on, that sounds like church people sometimes. Come on now. And Jesus turns and says to Peter in Luke 22, verse 31, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. All right, today's message is titled, When Hindsight is 2020, Seeing God's Grace in the Sifting Place. Are you ready to get in this word with me today? Lift up those hands all over this room. Father, we thank you. We're blessed to stand in this room today. And I thank you, Lord, for your holy word. God, your word is powerful. God, your word is life-giving. God, your word gives hope. God, it corrects, it rebukes, it changes us. And Lord, everything that you breathe your word to do, God, let it be done in our hearts today. I pray that you would anoint me to speak it and anoint every heart to receive it, every ear to hear it. And Lord, that we want to just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers of the word. Lord, that your word would set the captives free. And we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray. If you love them, shout amen and give them a praise. Come on now. You may be seated in the house of the Lord today. Man, you look good in the middle of summer. You got your suntan. Come on, whatever you've been doing is working. Come on, you're rested. And we're going in on the word today. And this morning, I came to remind you that your God is El-Roi. Come on, he's Jehovah El-Roi. That means that he's the God who sees. Come on, that's something just to shout about right there. He's the God who sees. And this name for God was mentioned first in the book of Genesis, chapter 16, by a woman named Hagar. Hagar was Sarah's servant. Come on, Abraham's wife, Sarah's servant, who saw the Lord when she was in a desperate place. Come on, she was pregnant and she was all alone in the desert. It seemed desperate, but in Genesis 16, 13, she said she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. Come on, he appeared in the desperate place. And she said, you are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. Hallelujah. And let me tell you today, your God sees you. And in order to see you, he has to be alive. Come on, I want you to know today, he's not a man-made God. He's not a statue. He's not a spiritual being. He is the true and the living God. And he is the same yesterday. He is the same today, and he's the same forever. And I want you to know that he doesn't just see you in this moment, but he sees all and knows all. Come on, he sees in foresight, he sees in insight, and he sees in hindsight. Come on, he's everywhere. He's omniscient, and he's omnipresent, and he's the future, the past, and the present. Come on, that's the God I'm talking about today. That's the God you serve. So let's dive in today, and let's first talk about foresight. Foresight is the ability to predict or plan for the future. Come on, how many of you wish you could just predict and plan everything that was going to happen in your day, right? And God gives us foresight through prophecy. Come on, I don't have time to list all the prophetic words in the Bible, all the things that God spoke that was going to come. And the prophecy gives us opportunity to prepare, right? To not be taken by surprise. Come on, to know that there's a promise on the way. Come on, to know that there's something coming, right? And we may not see the whole picture, but when it happens, you know he's in it because he already told you it was going to happen. Come on now. God gave foresight to a woman named Eve. Come on, even though she failed, he told her that one day her seed would crush the head of the serpent. Come on, he told Abraham that his descendants would one day be slaves in Egypt, but they were going to come out with great provision. Come on, God saw it before it ever happened. He told the Israelites that he prophesied regarding the destruction of Jerusalem, but he promised to bring his people back. Come on, he saw it before it happened. He promised the Messiah. Come on, he prophesied his birth, his death, his resurrection, and I'm thankful for his final return. Come on, that's a promise we can hold on to today. What am I saying here? What am I saying is that nothing catches God by surprise. Come on, it doesn't catch him by surprise, and he's not making it up as he goes. Come on, he's not trying to figure it out. He's not trying to backpedal. He's not trying to, what am I going to do now? Come on, God is not surprised by your issues. He's not surprised by your struggles. He's not surprised what happens today or what's going to happen tomorrow. And the psalmist declares in Psalm 139:16, he said, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Come on, God saw you before you were even born. And here in our story today, we see where Jesus was giving Peter the foresight of what was about to go down. Come on, what was about to happen? And Jesus tells Peter, he said, "You're not going to just deny me one time. You're going to deny me three times." Well, that's not probably news that he didn't want to hear, right? And Matthew says in his account of the story, he says, "Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never,'" somebody say never, "I will never be made to stumble." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly," come on, if Jesus said assuredly, come on, it's for sure, right? He said, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. And Peter said to him, he said, "I will never be made to stumble." Come on, never say never. Tell your neighbor, say never say never. Come on, if Jesus said it, come on, never say never. Come on, how many of you found yourself in a place where you say, "I would never get divorced. Come on, I would never compromise. I would never have an abortion. I would never give up on that situation. I would never find myself an addict. Come on, I would never have to ask for help in my life." Have you ever found yourself saying, "I would never"? Come on, "I would never move there." Somebody said, "I would never move to Florida." Well, here you are in Florida. Come on now. Some of you said, "I would never let my child do that." All the single people say that. All the people that do not have children. You're in the grocery store, and you see a kid going buck wild, and you say, "I would never let my child do that," right? Just wait till you're a parent, and all the parents said, "Amen." Come on, sometimes you're just trying to keep it all together. My mama used to say, do I need to take you to the bathroom right now? Come on now. That's old school. And I knew she meant it. Don't say I never, because you never know what you just might do. But Peter said, I would never do that. He said, it might happen to everybody else. But I, Jesus, you got it all right, but this thing, right? You missed it on this run. And that's a dangerous place to be when you think you're not capable of falling. Come on, when you think you're so saved and you're so close to Jesus, you got it all together, come on, that you don't hold yourself accountable anymore. Come on, when you think you got it all figured out, you think, oh, I would never, that would never be me, Pastor. That wouldn't be me, and you don't keep yourself and your life in check. Come on, but I have a question. Was Peter saying it out of his love for Jesus, or was he saying it out of pride? I believe it was a little bit of both. I believe he loved Jesus so much, he was like, how could I ever do that to you? I love you too much. Maybe it was pride saying, man, I've learned too much. I've come. How would you say that? I'm offended that you would say that about me, Jesus. I don't know why, but I do know that Peter said it because he didn't fully understand what was coming. Because it was easy to say it in this moment when everything was good, but what happens when everything falls apart, right? And Jesus gave him foresight into the future. But based on current circumstances, Peter didn't believe how this could even be remotely possible. But Jesus knew what was about to come. And even when it comes to your life, listen to me today, you have assurance that God sees what's ahead. Come on, Jesus gave us foresight when he said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Come on, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Thank you, Jesus. Tribulation there, and that word is a pressing. He said, in this world, you'll have pressure. You will have affliction and distress. Come on, anything that burdens the spirit. You ever been through some things that burden your spirit? Come on, it's related to the word for anguish. Come on, I'm not talking about like a little poke on a finger. I'm talking about anguish. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Come on, you can say, not me, Pastor, but just live long enough. Come on, any saints in the house today, you say, just live long enough. Come on, you might have some trouble in your life. I'm not trying to discourage you, because Jesus said, don't worry, you're going to have peace. Don't worry, I've already told you it was going to happen, so I'm already there. And even when trouble comes, we have peace in those moments because Jesus gave us the foresight to know it's coming, and he's not caught by surprise when it happens. See, you don't have that kind of trouble when, but you do know that you can take heart. You can take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. Come on, when you face trouble, come on, when you face anguish, when you face something that's bigger than you that you don't understand, you can take heart. He didn't say take heart because you're going to get it all right. He didn't say take heart because it's going to be easier on you because you're a Christian. No, he said take heart because I have overcome the world. Overcome means to conquer and to carry off the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something today. Before you ever failed, before that tragedy ever happened, before your world came crashing down, Jesus didn't just overcome your situation, he overcame the whole world. Come on, your world fell apart, but he already overcame the world. And he doesn't just see where you're going, he's already there waving the victory flag. He's already there saying, come on, you're gonna win. You can have peace today. And in Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. So do not fear nor be dismayed. Come on, I want to encourage somebody in the house today. Come on, you might walk into something that you don't want to walk into, but Jesus said, I've already given you the victory today. Hallelujah. Come on, he already saw it before you walked it. So not only does he see what's coming, come on, foresight, and he's already there, he sees what you're going through right now. Come on, that's insight. Come on, we need some insight sometimes. That's the ability to understand people and situations in a very clear way, and the ability to discern deeply and acutely, right? When you're walking through that moment, you cannot have the best insight, but Jesus sees clearly. Come on now. One moment, Peter and the disciples, they were following Jesus. Come on, they had come out of a miracle season. Come on, and they were having communion, the Last Supper with Jesus. They were all together. It was a beautiful moment. They followed Jesus as he went to pray into the garden. Come on, everything seemed hunky-dory. Y'all ever heard that term before, right? Everything was going smooth sailing. Then literally moments later, come on, this is not even chapters later. This is just a few verses later. Their entire world gets turned upside down. All of a sudden, Peter witnesses the betrayal of Jesus. Not just the betrayal, but it was by someone that he had walked closely with. Come on, someone that he had ate with. Come on, he saw Jesus' betrayal by someone he was with every day, Judas. And then Jesus is arrested, and he's sentenced to die. And all the other disciples, they scatter, right? It's in the middle of the night. It was a dark moment. And who knows what's going to happen next? Come on, talk about a turn of events. Isn't that how life happens sometimes? Come on, one phone call can change everything. Come on, one doctor's report, one car ride, come on now, and your whole world gets turned upside down. And all of a sudden, Peter, who was confident in his commitment to Jesus, is suddenly faced with fear, confusion, and uncertainty when he faced the situation. Would he be arrested next? Come on, was this gonna happen to him? Was this the end of his life? Was this the end of ministry as he knew it? Come on, his world came crashing down. And we see in verse 54, it says, then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire, remember that, kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and said, this man was with him, but he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And here's what the Bible says. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. What happened between verses 35 and 54? Just a short time. Come on, it was only hours ago that Peter said, I'd never do that. But now he's in a moment of crisis, in a moment of loss, of fear, and an uncertainty. And the process of sifting began. Remember, Jesus had told him in verse 31, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. See, sift as wheat is a metaphor, which means to shake someone apart or break a person down. You ever felt like you've been shook apart before? You ever felt like you were shook so far apart and torn so far apart that you didn't know if you could be put back together again? And am I talking to anybody in the room today, or am I just talking to myself? Come on, you've been in a place where you were so shook and so broken, you said, I don't know if even God can fix this. Come on now. Let's get real in the room today. Have you ever felt like you've been shook apart? Come on. In the process where they prepare the wheat to be useful, there's a three-step process. The first part of this process is the threshing process, where they take the wheat that has been harvested and they begin to crush it. They begin to trample on it. They literally beat the stalks of wheat to crush and release the kernels. Come on, to release the purpose. Come on, to release what is locked up inside. It takes a crushing. It takes a beating. It takes a trampling to separate what was unnecessary. Come on, that's step one. Step two is the winnowing process. That's where they take the mixture and they toss it in the wind, and the wind blows away the chaff. It blows away the things that don't belong. So they were crushed, and then he was tossed. Come on, it separates the inedible husks from the valuable grain. Come on, we're trying to get to what we can use here. And then the third step of the process is the sieving or the sifting process. That process is where they take that sieve and they put that wheat in there and they shake it violently. They shake it to where all the impurities fall away. They shake it to what's left is what is useful. They shake the dirt and the unwanted debris until what's left is what can be used to feed. Come on, what can be used to be different? What can be used to be purposeful? They shake it until it's prepared. So they crushed it, they tossed it, and they shook it. And Peter, that night, he went through a three-step process. Jesus said, you will not just deny me one time, you will deny me how many times? Come on, it was a process. He said, Satan has desired to sift you, and there's a process you're gonna, you might have said never, but this process was necessary. You might have said, it will never happen to me, but this is necessary for where you're going, Peter. And so Peter denied Jesus three times. He was in a sifting process. One moment, Peter is triumphing, and the next, he's being trampled. One moment, Peter is worshiping, and the next, he's being winnowed. Come on, one moment, Peter is sitting with Jesus, and the next, he's being sifted because he was crushed, he was tossed, and he was shaken. Come on, anybody ever been there in your life? Come on, I want to encourage you today. This process is necessary in your life. It might hurt. You might be bruised and battered. You might feel like you're falling apart, but Jesus is working in the sifting process. You might be crushed, tossed, and shaken, but trust the process. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, trust the process. In Matthew 26:31, when Jesus was foretelling Peter about his denial, he said, tonight you will be offended because of me. Offend means to stumble, to put a stumbling block or impediment in the way which another may trip and fall. See, it can be easy to trip and fall when it's dark. Come on, if you're in a dark season, come on, you're just trying to find your way. It's easy to trip and fall when it's dark. Come on, when you can't see clearly, when you're in a storm, come on, you can't see clearly when you're in a storm. And in these moments, it can become easy to be offended at God. Come on, I've been there. Maybe you are just the perfect Christian. But in those moments, you say, where are you, God? I can't see you right now. Why didn't you stop it, God? If you saw it coming, why didn't you stop it? Why didn't you change it? Why aren't you fixing this right now? You can become offended at God. Why am I all alone? It said that Satan desired to sift all of you. All the disciples, they scattered. Come on, where are the people that you need the most when you're going through? Come on now. They had their own stuff they were dealing with. Come on, I've had seasons that I thought the people that would be there for me couldn't be there, and I realized they were going through their own stuff too. They scattered. And sometimes you gotta walk through some seasons alone. They can't be sifted for you. You gotta walk this journey. And here's Peter, and he's done something he promised he'd never do. He's denied Jesus, not just one time, but three times. He's been crushed, he's been tossed, he's been shaken. And here's what happens in the midst of it all. Listen to me today. Here's what it says in verse 22. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Right at the moment that he failed, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. See, he turned and he looked at Peter. Jesus didn't look away. He looked upon. He didn't look away. He turned toward. Come on. Aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't look away when you messed up? Are you thankful he didn't look away every time you failed? He didn't turn his back on you when you were rebelling, when you were messed up, when you missed it. Jesus didn't look away. He looked too. And he looked at Peter in that moment. The Bible doesn't say what kind of look it was. But I don't think it was the kind of look that your mama gives you across the room when you're doing something you shouldn't do. Come on, all the mamas, y'all got that look. Give me that look right now. See, I know. See, you could be talking to someone and then you just hear your kids over there messing around. You're like, right? All of a sudden, the look. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to do nothing. They know. Like, you know, some of y'all's honey's getting tight right now. Just remembering your mama, how she used to do that to you. Come on now. You say, uh-oh, when we get home, it's over. Come on, I'm getting it when I get. Mama ain't gonna forget either now. Right? She said, that look says it all, right? And Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And I don't know what kind of look it was, but I believe this is what Jesus was communicating to Peter in that moment. He said, I still see you. You missed it. You did what you said you would never do. But Peter, I still see you. Come on, I gotta tell somebody in the room today, you might feel unworthy, but Jesus still sees you. Come on, you might feel like you went so far that it can't be turned around. Maybe you're watching on live stream today, and you said, I can't even come to the house of the Lord, I'm too ashamed. But Jesus sees you right where you are today. Maybe you're watching from a prison cell. He still sees you. Jesus had assured Peter, he said, I have pleaded for you in prayer, Simon, that your faith should not fail. In the process of sifting, the heavy kernels remained in the sieve. And while dirt, weeds, seeds, and small stones fell through the mesh, it was leaving the pure wheat ready to be made into flour. See, you might have lost it all, but if you've kept the faith, God can still use you again. Come on, he said, you're going to be sifted, but I prayed for you that you would keep the faith. And Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now, and he's making intercession for you today that you will keep the faith. Come on, that you will hold on to something. That your faith will not fail, even when you do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I want you to know today that he sees you. And maybe the very thing that defines you isn't the fact that you never failed, but the fact that you allowed your failure to make you better. Come on, you allowed your failure to make your faith stronger, not weaker. Because if Jesus still saw me at my worst, I can believe in him. I can trust in him. If he still saw me, even when I was worth, he didn't move on to the next person. He didn't say, oh, Peter is disqualified. If Jesus saw me, I can have faith in somebody like that. And I want to tell you today, what the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. Hallelujah. I came to declare this to someone who will receive it in the house today. He wants to turn your sifting place into your shifting place. Come on, he wants to turn your sifting place into your shifting place today. Just praise him right now if you believe that. Come on now. Come on, just praise him. Come on, you might be crushed. You might be tossed, but give him a praise anyhow. Come on, you are shifting into a new dimension. Hallelujah. It's necessary. It's a shifting place for you. Now, he's the God who sees before it ever happens, right? Foresight. He's the God who sees you in the midst, which is insight. But he's also the one who sees on the other side. Come on, he sees on the other side. Hallelujah, hindsight. It's the ability to understand a situation or event only after it has happened. Come on, you look back and you say, oh, well, if I would have did X, Y, Z, I would have got 1, 2, 3. You know what I'm saying, right? We have those things in our lives, and we can look back sometimes and say, oh, next time I'll do it this way. But then there's sometimes in our lives that you don't get a next time. Those are the ones that hurt the most, right? And we can get stuck in hindsight. And here's what happened. After Peter denies Jesus, Jesus is crucified. Think about this. At the very moment Peter is failing, Jesus is making a way for him to be forgiven. He is headed to the cross. He is headed to the cross. In that very moment that you fail, grace is already available to you. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's so good. Peter denies Jesus. Jesus is crucified. It looks like it's over. It looks like the end. But then he rises again. And then what happens after all that? I mean, I just told a lot in a little moment, right? Because that was a lot. You ever been through a season that was a lot? I mean, that was a lot, Jesus. And it says in verse 21, after Jesus appeared to his disciples, again, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There were fish on it and some bread. Jump to verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, how many times? Three times. Come on, one for every struggle. One for every time Peter missed it. Three times. One for every failure. Come on, Jesus is in the business of full restoration. Come on, he's in the full restoration business. And he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him for the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. For truly I tell you that when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. He said, follow me. Before all of this happened, Peter had went back fishing. Jesus had died. He had denied him. And Peter said, I don't know what's next. I'm going to go back fishing. And here he was. He was called to be the forerunner of the early church, but he was stuck in regret, guilt, and shame. He was traumatized. So he went back to what he knew was familiar. He went back to what he could see, what he could wrap his mind around. He couldn't wrap his mind around all that just happened. So I'm going to go back to what I understand. I'm going to go back to what seems familiar. I'm going to go back. Something he knew he could get right, right? He couldn't see what was ahead. He could only look back to where he'd been and what he had done. That's hindsight. And some of you in this room today, you can't get past the regrets of yesterday. Come on, when I never turned into how could I? But don't get stuck in hindsight, because the Bible says, come on, the hindsight, it says you are the head and not the tail. The Bible says that you are above only and not beneath. So hindsight is not your position. Come on now. See, hindsight living will keep you on your backside, but vision living keeps you moving forward. They say that hindsight is what? 2020, right? They say hindsight is, you can look back, you can see it clearly, right? But stop judging a situation in which you couldn't see clearly in through a 20/20 hindsight lens. That's the wrong lens. See, you couldn't see clearly when it was dark. You couldn't see clearly when it was stormy, when it was uncertain, when you were being shaken. You were just trying to do the best that you could. Come on now. Don't let I'll nevers turn into if only regrets. Stop looking at your seasons and storms and struggles from the viewpoint of a Monday morning quarterback. Do we have any Monday morning quarterbacks in the room here today? Come on, all of our sports analysts. Man, my husband, like, I like sports, but I don't like to watch all the fluff. Here's what we think is going to happen, right? And then at halftime, here's what we see happening, right? Then after the game, here's what they should have done, right? Here's how they could have won. Now, you're doing that from the perspective of knowing everything that happened in the game. And you're doing it from the sidelines. Come on now. Stop being a Monday morning quarterback in your life. Someone who criticizes a decision only after it's over and you can see all the plays of the game. Come on, stop analyzing your season and your struggle. Come on, from a 20/20 hindsight perspective. Let me tell you this today. You can learn from yesterday, but don't live in yesterday. You can learn from it, but don't live in it. Come on now. Remember, God saw it before it happened. He saw what you couldn't see in the middle, and he gave you grace, and God used it to sift you and to prepare you because he sees where you're going. Peter didn't go through all that just to go back to what he was doing before. Jesus had a vision for his future. Don't let the hindsight of your past season blur your vision for the next season. Don't let it cause you to doubt your purpose. Don't let it speak regret or failure into your next season. That moment wasn't to break you. It was to build you. It was to define you and to teach you about where you're going. Somebody shout, I'm going somewhere. On the other side of it, Jesus brought Peter back to the fire. Come on, it said that he prepared a fire for them. He brought them back to the fire to heal what had been broken. See, remember where Peter was when he denied Jesus. It said he was around a fire. He had denied Jesus in a conversation by the fire. But Jesus brought him back to the fire to restore him. Jesus made another fire. He said, I'm bringing you back to heal those places that you are hurting. Come on, he said, I'm bringing you back to the fire to restore you and to feed you. Come on, what did he feed them? He fed them fish and bread. Jesus was sending this message. This is what I believe. The Bible doesn't say it, but this is what I believe. Jesus was sending this message. Don't remember what you did. Remember what I can do. He fed loaves and he fed fishes. He said, don't remember what you did. Remember that I fed the 5,000. Come on. Remember that I made ways out of no ways. Remember that I can make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Remember that I can deliver the demoniac. Remember that I brought breakthrough. Remember that I raised the dead to life. Don't remember what you did. Remember what Jesus can do. Come on, he's still making a way. He's still turning situations around. He still can restore marriages. Come on, he can still save your children. Come on, he can still turn it around today. Remember what he can do. Some of you have been stuck in park and you've been remembering and rehearsing everything that you did that was wrong. But Jesus said, put the past behind you. I'm bringing you back to the fire, back to the place so that I can remind you what I can do. Come on, give him a praise today. Hallelujah. The fire that once represented pain now represents provision. See, when Jesus wants you to look back, he doesn't want you to look back on your situation with pain. He wants you to look back and see his provision. And God is turning fires of pain into fires of provision and fires of purpose today. Come on, he's about to set this whole house on fire today. Are you ready? And in the conversation around the fire, it was so beautiful. Jesus says, come here, Peter. Let me talk to you for a minute, son. Come on. You just picture that. And in this conversation, Jesus didn't even bring up Peter's mistakes. It was under the blood. It was under the blood. It was already forgiven. It was in the past. He didn't ask, are you sorry for what you did? He didn't say, do you promise to never do it again? I just got to make sure, right, if I can use you. No, he simply asked, do you love me? After all that you've been through and all that you've done, are you still offended by me or do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter said, you know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. It was an assignment over Peter's life. Peter was sifted as wheat. He was sifted wheat who could now feed the sheep. Jesus wasn't holding his past over him. Jesus was giving Peter vision for the future. You guys can come play. He wasn't holding his past. He wasn't dangling over him. He was giving him a vision for the future. And he said, follow me. It's time to stop looking back, to stop being stuck in hindsight. It's time to follow me. Jesus said, not only could I see the trouble that was coming, I can see the blessing that's coming your way. I can see the purpose that's coming your way. I see the assignment that's coming your way. And Jesus was confident that Peter would turn back. He didn't say, if you turn back. He said, when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. There's others who are waiting for you to stop looking back and start looking ahead. There's people that need what you carry. You didn't go through all that you went through to go back. There's people waiting on your yes. There's people waiting for you to follow Jesus forward. On the day of Pentecost, Peter wasn't in the fishing boat. He wasn't on the shore. He was in an upper room. He had moved forward. He was around another fire. And he was walking in his purpose. Come on, Jesus had an assignment. See, the fire was a foretelling of what was to come. There's another fire. And I believe in this room, I prophesy, this is not even in my notes, over somebody in this room today, that there's another fire. Come on, maybe it's gone dim. Maybe it needs to be tended to, but God is stirring the fire in somebody today. Come on, he's rekindling that first love fire. He's saying, do you love me? He's calling us back to that first love fire. And I declare over someone today that you're going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. That you're going to put your past behind you, and you're going to follow him into your kingdom assignment. I close with this. I can only tell my story. I can't tell your story. And I'm sure that you all have one. But the Lord put this message in my heart because I needed it. Come on now. You know, this coming week will be 4 years of my dad passing away. I can't believe it. And the night before his heart attack, I had a dream. It was a Saturday night. I had a dream that I was in a hallway of a hospital and they told me that my dad had passed away. I had a dream that night before his heart attack that he died. And so I woke up and I prayed for my parents that morning, but I didn't really feel like it was gonna happen. Like, that'll never, right? But God gave me that foresight to where I had been gone the week before and I was about to be gone the following week. I said, I'm gonna go see my parents today. So I went over there and I sat with my dad on the front porch while my mom was inside with the kids, and we just sat and we talked. And it was so such a beautiful time. And we sat there and we chatted and we talked. And he was great. He was fine. He was actually telling me that he had felt the best he had in a long time and just doing great. Well, we left to go home. And literally on my way home, I got the call that he had had a massive heart attack. One call, one moment, right? So I thank God that he gave me that foresight. I know everybody doesn't get that. But we know we're never promised tomorrow. So make the most of every moment that you have with the people that you love. Come on now. But for whatever reason, by God's grace, he gave me that opportunity. And I'm so glad that I took it. But my mom, my precious mom, who had been dealing with Parkinson's for many years, she had relied on my dad. And I thought, you know what? This is tough, but our family will never fall apart. I said, we will never fall apart. My mom will never go to a nursing home. Come on now. I will never let these things happen. I said all these things, and I'm going to be the hero of my family. I thought I would save the day. But let me tell you, during the next 3 years, things began to crumble more and more. I was crushed, trampled, tossed. Man, I couldn't put it back together. I couldn't fix it, Pastor Isaac. I couldn't do it. And for 3 years, it felt like I was trying to hold on to water. Have you ever felt that way before? Crushed, tossed, and shaken. And I remember, this is also 1 year this month of my mom passing. And I remember the night before my mom passed, I'm sitting beside her bed in the nursing home. I'm sitting beside her bed, and she's broken, and she's passing away. And I couldn't keep it together, right? And I started thinking, how did we get here? How did I let this happen? What if I would have just done it this way? Come on, hindsight. What if I didn't do it that way? Come on. Feeling like I had failed someone that I loved so dearly. And that feeling of failure can carry into every area of your life. Well, if I didn't get that right, am I getting it right in my ministry or my job? Am I getting it right as a parent? If I felt like if I didn't get that right, and you carry that insecurity, you've carried that guilt like a weight into every area of your life. And I had been carrying that for 3 years. Until one day recently, the Lord, he just shows up right on time. And I heard him one day, I was rehearsing this in my heart and mind, and I heard the Lord say, hindsight is 20/20. I was like, what? He said, why are you judging a season where you couldn't see clearly from a hindsight 20/20 perspective? Why are you looking, when you look back and you can see, well, all the pieces, you can see all, but you're judging it from a place. You weren't in that place. You were in a place that was dark. I was in a place that was broken. I was in a place that I was just trying to keep it together. He said, why do you keep judging yourself from the hindsight perspective? And at that moment, I felt the grace of God begin to pour into my heart and life. The Lord began to show me, not where I messed up, but he began to show me where his grace was. He began to show me, not where I missed it or I could have changed it. He began to show me that his grace was there in the midst of it. He began to show me how he carried my family. Listen, without his grace, I would not be standing here in front of you today. I would have fell apart, y'all. I would have lost it. There was moments in the midnight hour that I just had to sit before the Lord and worship because I didn't know what else to do. And without his grace, I wouldn't be here today. And listen, if you're here today and you're stuck looking at the past, God's grace is sufficient for you. He didn't bring you through all of that for you to keep looking back. He says, and he has an invitation for you today. If you're burdened with guilt, if you're burdened with shame, if you're burdened with regret, he is before you today. And he said, do you love me? Do you love me? I have a purpose for you. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Follow me. If you've been letting regret, guilt, and shame keep you from moving forward, God wants to change your perspective today. And he wants to heal your past before you leave here today. And he's inviting you to follow him into the future. The sifting wasn't to condemn you. The sifting was so God could prepare you for what he had for you. The sifting wasn't to hold you from your purpose. It was to prepare you for your purpose. And he's saying, come, follow me. It's time to move forward. And from now on, when you look back in hindsight, you won't see where and how you missed it. You'll see where and how God was working. Come on, he's changing your vision today. Come on, he's changing your perspective. You'll see his grace, his process, how he saw you, and how he kept you. And you can say, as Hagar said, I have seen the one who sees me, Jehovah El Roi. You say, I can see God who saw me before. He saw me in the middle. He saw the past, but he also sees my future. Can you just stand on your feet and give him glory today? Come on, just give him worship. Come on, you'll see his grace in the sifting place. Come on, he's given you eyes to see his grace in the sifting place. Hallelujah, just worship him right now. Oh God, I thank you, Lord. See scales falling from people's eyes right now. And if you could just stay right where you are, nobody leaving in these next few moments. Come on, I just literally see the old things passing away and the new things coming. The Lord is changing your mind, changing your perspective, and he's sending an invitation. Come, follow me. Do you still love me? Come, follow me. Follow me into your purpose. Follow me into the future. Follow me in, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Come on, just worship him right now. Say, oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek, and when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. He sees you through eyes of grace today. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Oh Lord, please light. Oh Lord, please light the fire. Burn bright. That one. case, an empty place, if not for grace. One last time, say, where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love, a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the God who sees. Before it ever happens, he's already there to give you the peace, to give you the victory. He's the God who sees you in the midst of it. He's not turning away. He's turning towards you. He's not repelled by your problems or your pain. He's turning toward you in the midst of your struggle. Even if you can't see him, it's dark, it's stormy, but he sees you. And he's the one, when you look back, you see his grace. Don't see where you missed it. Don't see your failures. See his goodness. See his grace. And follow him forward today. And I want you to know that this grace is available for every person in the room. Every one of you. Well, you don't know what I did, Pastor. Every one of you. His grace is sufficient for you. There's a parent in this room, and you are carrying regrets. Maybe your children aren't serving Jesus, and you're like, man, if I would have did this differently, if I would have prayed this differently, if I would have led them different, you're carrying regrets. There's a parent in this room. I don't know who you are. Stop looking back. God has a plan for you, and he has a plan for your child. Is that you? Come on. Come on, just begin to pray right now. No more regrets, only grace. Stop looking through the lens of regret. You're going to look through the lens of grace. His grace is sufficient. Come on, just begin to pray right now. The Holy Spirit is moving in this place. There's somebody in this room here today. I felt this even as I was writing this sermon, and you had an abortion, and you've been carrying the regret and the guilt and the shame of that abortion. And now as a Christian, you're like, how could I have done that? How could I have made that decision? But you were in a dark place, and I'm not condoning your decision, but you were in a place that you couldn't see clearly. You thought that was the only option in your life. Come on, you couldn't see clearly. It was dark. And the enemy's been trying to hold you back and think God could never, he's been telling you God could never use you because of that decision. But God said, I was using it to sift you, and I have a plan for you to move forward. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if you want prayer, I'm just going to invite you to come up for prayer if that's you, because you don't have to walk out of here with that guilt. You don't have to walk out of here with that shame or that condemnation. Come on, there is grace available. We're making a fire right here for you to come forward. Come on. Come on, there's healing in this place. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come stand with these. If you're on the prayer team, come on, don't let them stand alone. Come on, just pray, y'all. God is moving. Come on, his word is powerful. you can. Come on. If you're, if you need freedom today from regret, guilt, or shame, whatever it is, if you did, the altar is open for you. Come on, you say, I don't want to walk out of here. I don't want to walk out of here walking backwards. I want to walk forward. Come on, I'm just going to open up these altars right now if you want to come forward. If your life is not right with Jesus, you know that there's things in your life that separate you from Him, and you want to get it right right now, come to this altar. Come on, maybe you've been saved for 20 years, but there's something in your past that has been hindering you. There's some regret that you've been holding on to, and it's been keeping you from walking in the fullness of the purpose that God has for you. We're leaving shame at the altar right now. Come on, we're leaving guilt. I need all of our pastors, all of our prayer team. Don't let anybody stand alone, please. Come up. Don't let anybody stand alone. If you're on the altar team or our staff, don't let anybody stand alone. Come on, pray them through right now in Jesus' name. Come on, there's breaking happening right now. Come on, there's breaking happening right now.
Tell you,
that are even coming right now. Come on. It's not too late. The door is still open. If you need to get your life right with Jesus today, if there's things that you've been carrying. Come on, I literally see the weight of regret, guilt, and shame breaking off of people right now. Come on, years of heavy weight. Come on, pray one more time. Come on, that weight is being lifted, and grace. Come on, grace. 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 His grace is sufficient for you. There's grace. Come on, there's literally waves of grace. Come on, catch the wave. Come on, hallelujah. There's waves of grace. There's waves of grace. Come on, you're watching right now by live stream. There's waves of grace flowing through you right now. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, I declare freedom to you right now. Come on, raise your hands if you're watching by live stream right now. Come on, there's a burden being lifted off of you. There's a weight that's being lifted off of you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, follow me. Come on, follow me forward. And anytime the enemy tries to bring those things back again, you're gonna say, God used it to make me. God used it for his purpose. Come on, every time those thoughts try to come, every time the enemy tries to come back, you have a different perspective now. You're gonna say, God used that, devil. You can't use it, God used it. You can't use it on me, God used it to sift me, to make me. You can't use that on me anymore, devil. God used it for his glory and for his purpose. God used it. Come on, your perspective's changing. Your mouth is changing. Come on, God used it. Thank you, God, that you used it. Hallelujah. Can we do this today before we leave in this room? If you're here today and your heart is not right with Jesus, I want to pray this prayer with you today. I know many of you have already prayed this prayer at the altar, but I want to make sure that there's not one person in this room that leaves not having things right. Like I said, you just never know when your life will be over and you'll meet with Jesus. But you can be assured that you'll be with him. Can you put your hand on your heart today and lift up that other hand in the air? And we're just gonna recommit our lives to following Jesus. Come on, we're gonna recommit our lives to following him. No turning back. Can you say this with me? Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love me so much that you forgive me of all my sins. Lord, wash my heart clean through your precious blood. I thank you that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus because of what you've done. The old things have passed away and all things have been made new. It's under the blood. And from this day forward, I'm not looking back. I'm gonna follow you forward. I'm gonna follow you forward into everything you have for my life because I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Give God a praise. Come on, for freedom today. Give him a praise for deliverance today. Give him a praise for